Let us pray. Amazing Lord, we give thanks to you for this incredible morning, for the opportunity to see the light, to feel the breeze, and to know and be glad that we are alive. Thank you, Lord, for every person that is here. Let the words that we're gonna share with you and with everyone be a blessing to each of us, so that we can be agents of transformation in the world. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We are gonna read the scripture for today in a different way. And the scripture this morning is Matthew 25, verses 31 through 45.
Now when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right,
"Come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me."
Then those who are righteous will reply to him,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?"
Then the king will reply to them,
"I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you've done it for me."
Then he will say to those on his left,
"Get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me."
Then they will reply,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked or sick or in prison, and didn't do anything to help you?"
Then he will answer,
"I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me."
Thank you. Judgment Day. It is the day when we will see Jesus face to face, and he will tell us how well we have lived our lives. That day, he will tell us if we have loved our neighbor or we have not. Here at Crossroads, we are very intentional to follow the commandments that Jesus showed us in his ministry, to love our neighbor, to help the hungry, to feed those who don't have clothes, to be with the widows. And so today we have invited these five amazing people who have been involved in different areas answering to this commandment to love our neighbor. So I want to start with you telling us your name and how long have you been at the church?
Hi everyone, my name's Michaela Pellegrino and I've been at the church for almost 2 years now.
Hi, my name's Mike Hughes and we started coming to Crossroads in 1997.
Long time.
Amy Taylor and my family started coming to Crossroads in 2020.
My name is Nettie Lombardo. We came here 2019, but we left overseas and come back again last year.
Yay! Thank you for coming back, Nettie.
My name is Miguel Perez, and I've been coming to Crossroads for about 2.5, maybe 3 years. kind of remember. It was sometime in the summer of 23.
And he is a very servant soul who watch online every week because he moved to Luray. So thank you for watching. Okay, I want to ask you now to tell us about how you are currently serving, whether it is in within the church or in the community.
Go ahead. I've been serving with the student ministry here for a little over a year and a half now, and there have been so many opportunities for me to get connected here. On at 11 a.m., we host our middle and high schoolers downstairs in the basement, and that's more of like a large group setting. You know, we play a big game, we hear Xander preach, and then we kind of break off and talk about what we heard. But on Sunday nights, we're really focusing on building relationships with the kids. I think for a kid to want to open up about something as personal as their faith, they need to know that you can trust you, or they can trust you, and that you care about them. So we break up our middle and high schoolers. Middle schoolers are from 5 to 6:30, and our high schoolers are from 6:30 to 8. I also want to plug that we have a church fall retreat coming. I will be going. It's November 14th through 16th at Rappahannock Camp. I'm actually not sure where that is, but I do know the deadline is October 28th. We're going with a bunch of churches and their students in the district, so check it out. It'll be really awesome.
Perfect. Thank you for that plugin.
Well, I've been involved with a lot of things at Crossroads over the years, but most currently I'm on the safety team. Been doing that for a couple of years, so 1 week into the month I'm here keeping you all safe.
Thank you.
Family, my wife and daughter and I have gone to Guatemala twice on the mission. Let's see what else we've done here. We've done meals at the shelter. I help with ESL on Wednesdays. And then outside the church for a couple of years, we've been involved with a small food pantry called Boxes of Blessings. And on Fridays, I pick up food at Loudoun Hunger Relief, and we sort it and store it for the weekend. And then on Mondays, we get more food from Trader Joe's and then put it into boxes and distribute it to 40 families in the area.
Wonderful. Thank you.
So outside of Crossroads, I refinish furniture for charity, which doesn't seem like a thing, but I take the junky furniture that people throw out, I redo it, and then every piece is donated, and it usually is used to furnish a home for someone coming out of the shelter or a domestic violence situation. I took that concept to the Loudoun County Adult Detention Center, so the jail, and for the past 2 years, I've been going in every week and working with anywhere between 6 to 9 male inmates, teaching them also to refinish furniture. It gives them an opportunity to give back. They're working with their hands, they're using creativity and problem solving, but they're also using a hobby that requires them to slow down and be patient, right? So when Crossroads wanted to start a prison ministry, I was happy to be part of that. And since June, a team of us has been going in and working with medium security female inmates. And we're teaching a series that is designed to help them strengthen their spirituality, which then helps them in other areas of their lives, both now and then after they're released. And we may be able to soon teach a class to maximum security inmates.
That's awesome. Incredible.
Yeah, I'm currently serving for the preparing and providing food for the homeless shelter in Lisbon once a month, every Wednesday night. And also, I did also volunteering for the food for neighbors, which is we come in the church also for the community, sorted out the food that they donated, and we send it to the school or around neighborhood here.
In the last 3 years since I've been attending Crossroads, I have gone through a process of either joining small groups where I've learned more about the church, about myself, about self-care, which they're very helpful in providing that for people who go through some struggles, you know, whether it's anxiety or whether it's, in my case, I didn't know I had Parkinson's disease, but I was diagnosed with it in June of 2024. So it helped me get myself more prepared, self-healing, with prayer, joining small groups like donating baskets, with food or the red bag. And then when I moved to Luray, I could have attended a different Methodist church there. There's a couple, but I just feel so comfortable here. I want to continue being part of it. So I joined the online hosting, which kept me connected with the community. And when I have the opportunity to come, I'm an attended person, I do come. But most of the time, being online, I could serve and feel connected. That's, you know, we always have availability for anybody that wants to do it. If you have a day to spare that, you know, you want to do it from home, it feels just as good, and it was easier. And if I can do it, anybody can, because I'm not the most outgoing person. So that's how I serve the community. And any future chances, I'm always open to suggestions.
Perfect. Thank you. And that's a big plug-in that I'm going to second. If you want to, or when you are not in person in here, we invite you to join that host team online. If you're interested, let me know. Okay, our second question is, how saying yes to serving has impacted other areas of your life, your relationships, your faith, or your sense of purpose?
Something that I've always believed is that where your passion is, your purpose is probably somewhere really close by. And I've just always had this passion for working with students. I am a special education teacher outside of here, but I don't know, something about kids really just makes my heart come alive. And I feel like I'm able to utilize these gifts and talents that God has given me and really tap into that like individual purpose. Obviously, I think we're all called to serve that greater purpose of spreading the good news, but I think we were each equipped with certain gifts and abilities that enable us to spread our light in different ways too. Another thing that I'm really grateful for is student ministry has pushed me to dive deeper into my faith and kind of gain a better understanding of why I believe the things I believe. Yeah, I could tell a kid all day I love Jesus and I believe in him, but what does that walk with Jesus look like and how do I communicate that? Or yes, I believe in God, but what's it like when I talk to God? Or yes, I believe in the Spirit, but how am I utilizing the Spirit on a day-to-day basis and how am I communicating that to them? So really understanding and solidifying those beliefs so I can communicate that effectively to the kids has been a huge part of that story.
Incredible, thank you.
For me, it's all about connection. Going to Guatemala with my wife and daughter and serving the food bank with them has strengthened the connection between us there. And working with people for a common purpose just builds connection, builds friendships. And we recently, earlier this year, went through a health scare in our family. And having those connections to reach out to and get support from really helped me get through it. And then connecting with the people we help at ESL, the ESL students, with the people at the shelter, with the people that come to the food bank, with the people in Guatemala, helps me to see that they are really our neighbors. There's so much more in common than there is different between us, and that they are our brothers and sisters, and we should love them and help them.
So I think volunteering in prison makes me realize how blessed I am. I had a happy childhood, but often those that are incarcerated did not. And I think if I had gone through the same dysfunction and challenges and addictions that some of these folks had, I would be incarcerated too. So I think the big impact for me is just seeing people as people. We have our lessons every week, but then they want to talk, and sometimes they tell me they miss their moms or that they're worried about their kids who are on their phones too much. Sometimes we talk about country music and dogs and fast food, you know, things that we would talk about just with anyone here. They truly are people, and they want to be seen as people, you know, despite what you might see on TV or in the movies. I think there's been a big impact to my faith in that, you know, I'd always heard people talk about feeling God walk with them. And I wasn't really sure I'd felt that, to be honest. But being in the prison the last couple of years, I've been in enough tense situations where I should have been frozen in a couple instances, or I've had conversations where I should have been absolutely speechless. Each time I find the words and the actions that I need to, I have no doubt where that comes from.
Amen.
Yeah, for me is I have experienced how God blesses my life. Through all the things that I learned, that I would like to share what is God blessed to me to others. And also by doing that, also I learn how to meet other people and learn another skill that I don't know, that by doing volunteer also I learn a lot and again a lot of experience by doing that.
For me, volunteering just helped me get connected with my community, have a relationship with God closer, because I'm sharing some of my time to help other people or to listen to other people. when I joined some of the small groups, and just understanding that I'm not alone, you know, that I have other people that go through the same difficulties that life brings us, you know, then we learn from it and we grow from it. At the same time, when I volunteer, I stay connected with the community online, and I'm able to make them feel like they're here, you know, so they don't feel like they're so detached. So that's my take.
Thank you so much. So our last question, maybe the people here and online who want to say yes, but they say, I don't have time, I may don't have the skills to do this or that. What would you say to them?
I would say that I believe we serve a God that does not call the qualified, but equips the willing.
Amen.
And I think we have talked about it in this church before, that we have this tendency to put labels on other people, and I think we sometimes put labels on ourselves too. And we say things like, I'm not good enough to make a difference here, or I'm not qualified enough to really serve in that capacity. And you know, I think we really limit how God can utilize us and what he can do through us when we put those labels on ourselves. I think when Tim says each week, Lord, let me get out of the way so that you can do what you do. I mean, the Bible tells us in our weakness, God's strength is magnified. So I would encourage that person to pray for the courage to take that next step, because yeah, a beautiful thing about serving is you can be used to bless someone, and that is really beautiful. But your heart will also be transformed in ways that you could never imagine, and there's something really beautiful about that too.
Amen.
I would say feel the fear and do it anyway. We're all awkward at first when we try something new, and as you do it more, you get better at it. And if you find it's not working, there are so many opportunities out there, you can always try something else. And speaking to the parents out there, sometimes our actions speak so much louder than our words, and setting an example for your kids of this service is just so powerful in the family.
So the idea of steps that we're covering in Crossroads is one we also talked about in the prison ministry. For the female inmates, if you're making big changes, what we tell them is take a step, but it doesn't have to be big, just take a little step and then keep taking them. So a little step could be to pray about it if you're thinking about volunteering. It could be talking to another volunteer, just getting more information. But take a step today, then take another step tomorrow. Everybody's busy these days, and I understand that, but I think there's the kind of busy that drains your batteries and the kind of busy that recharges your batteries.
Yes.
And I think volunteering definitely does the latter. And then, like was said earlier, don't feel like you have to be an expert. I don't have any background in prison ministry. I had never stepped foot in a prison until 2 years ago. But you know, I think really to be a volunteer, you just have to show up, you have to listen, and you have to care.
Me said that please pray and ask God first that give you wisdom and strength what volunteer you wanted to do, and then take a simple step, a small step, by you know going to observe volunteer even and see what you are you know feel comfortable to do and find your passion.
There's a space for everyone that you have the time, maybe an hour, 30 minutes. And it does make you feel good when you're volunteering and being part of the community. And it also helps meet a lot of people, you know, as well as being able to feel comfortable telling your children or your grandkids, okay, I do this, you know, once a week. And it's a good experience and feeling, and I do it, and I'm not the most outgoing person in the world, so I mean it's easy.
It has transformed you for sure. Can you help me to give them a round of applause? thank you. If you want to go to your seats. So all of you have this commitment card. And this commitment card has three sentences that you are going to read slowly, but you're going to take really seriously, because Our invitation for you is to take a step in serving. We have been talking about this 1+1 lifestyle, and we want everyone here at Crossroads to be involved on being a 1+1. So we're gonna give you a minute to check this out, and you are going to choose which one are you going to do. And when you come to communion, please drop this on those little baskets that are placed near each communion station. So take a step and serve the world. Let us pray. Amazing Lord, we give thanks to you for this day and for the opportunity to come together to praise you, to learn more about you, and to see how, Lord, your love and your Holy Spirit is guiding us to be agents of hope and love in the world. Lord, let the sharing of our stories be acceptable to you, and that those words will help others to see where can they help and serve the world. Holy Spirit, come and fill us with your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So this morning, the service is gonna be a little different. We're going to have these amazing panelists here who are gonna answer some questions. And we're gonna read a scripture from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 from 25. 41, no, what, 25 to 41. And we have the worship team is gonna read it at four voices so that you can experience it in a different way.
Now when the human one comes in his majesty and all his angels are with him, he will sit on his majestic throne. All the nations will be gathered in front of him. He will separate them from each other, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right side, but the goats he will put on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right,
come, you who will receive good things from my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world began. I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothes to wear. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.
Then those who are righteous will reply to him,
Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcome you, or naked and give you clothes to wear? When did we see you sick and in prison and visit you?
Then the king will reply to them,
I assure you that when you have done it for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you have done it for me.
Then he will say to those on his left,
get away from me, you who will receive terrible things. Go into the unending fire that has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you didn't give me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothes to wear. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me.
Then they will reply,
Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't do anything to help you?
Then he will answer,
I assure you that when you haven't done it for one of the least of these, you haven't done it for me.
Thank you. Judgment Day. It will be that day when Jesus will come back and we can see him face to face. And he will tell us if we have lived in the way that he came and taught us how to live. All Jesus' ministry was all about loving God and loving our neighbor. Every healing, every interaction had that message. So today, I want to remind you that here at Crossroads, that is what we do. We seek to love the neighbor and to love God with all of our heart and with all of our mind. And with that, we are able to transform the world with the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. So this morning you have here five amazing people who are and have been involved in serving the world. And I want to start by asking your name and tell us how long have you been here at Crossroads and how do you find out Crossroads? So, start.
Hello, my name is Rocio Paola Caballero Keo. I know it's a mouthful. I've been here for a little over a year and a half, and I found this place through friends that my daughter actually connected us to, and they are Jennifer and Aaron Drewiski. I think they're watching us online. So that's how I got here.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
So my name is Jose. I think we've been year and a half. We came to Crossroads through friends as well and scouts. And we decided to stay because we saw how much the community, how this church helps the community. And we wanted to be part of something that could help improve our kids' community. So this is the reason why we decided to stay here.
Great. And their husband and wife.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Gracia. Like Jose mentioned, we have been at Crossroads for a little over a year and a half, and we joined because of our amazing scout leader, Robin, Miss Robin. You may know her from Hope Preschool. And I remember the first activity that we came, scout activity that we came to Crossroads. I immediately told Jose, oh my God, this feels like home. So, yeah.
How wonderful.
My name's Lee, that's my wife Sarah, my daughter Mika. I have twin boys that are 3 years old. They're in the back causing chaos somewhere. You might not guess from my hair, I was actually Air Force pilot for 13 years. And then I got out in spring of 2023. And then we moved here. We hadn't been plugged in really since kids were born. And what actually got us here, and the reason we're here is because of Hope Preschool. Like, I was just completely blown away by how much everyone loved and poured into our daughter Mika. And I couldn't not pour into the body that's pouring into my daughter like that. So that sold me.
Hello, good morning. My name is Axel, and it's almost been a year. I'm with the church, and I know the church from my aunt. She's quite active, involved in this church. So, yeah, thank you. Nice to meet you all.
Thank you so much. So now I want to go a little bit deeper and get to know about your stories and tell us how you are currently serving, whether it is here inside Crossroads or in the community.
Okay, so I'll start again. I do quite a few things outside Yay. Crossroads, and I with some time that I have then inside Crossroads, but I wanna start by saying that none of it would be possible without the support of my family to have the time. I have a chronic illness, so for many years I wasn't able to do, but through my husband's support, my sister here in the audience, my mother's, my parents, my kids, that's what makes it possible. And I think that's the link between service and community, that it really makes you stronger, and the more support you have, the more support you give, it just keeps the ball rolling. So some of the things that I do, I'm a geologist, and so a lot of the service that I do goes towards serving marginalized communities, people who are not usually in your posters about geologists or scientists, space scientists, to support them, come into the field, stay in the field. So I do mentorship and coaching and all these things, and anything else that's needed. I co-founded an organization that's international called Latinas in Earth and Planetary Sciences, so I do a lot of work for that community, as well as international organizations in my field. I am part of the PTA with some time left, and that's for, I started last year when both my kids were in elementary school, so that has been one of the things that I've been enjoying lately, and with some of the time that I have available, I can help a little bit of scouts, Scouting America, I'm part of their committee. Girl Scouts, my girl just started joining the Girl Scouts, so I help there too a little bit as needed. And then here at Crossroads, I started with Kid Venture, but I realized the more I did, the less time I had. And so I feel that the grading component of the volunteering at Crossroads may be a smaller, a little bit easier commitment some days, some seasons in life. So yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Rocio.
Sorry. So outside of Crossroads, similarly to Rocio and eventually Grecia, I volunteer with one of the Cub Scouts, kinder through fifth grade. We have a scout pack over here in Ashburn, so I'm one of the leaders helping with their fundraisers, making sure that they have enough to sponsor their hikes, their campouts, all their activities, so making sure that then they're able to go through. And then recently over here in Crossroads, I've been helping out now with the ESL school, and that's been a very good blessing. So it's been for both sides, them learning and them opening my eyes and hearts.
Wonderful.
Very similar to Jose, I also volunteer with the Cub Scout Pack 1151. I'm actually part of their committee, and the way we help out is to, you know, open the space for the kids to get involved with scouting activities. I'm also the Scouting for Food coordinator, so we will be doing a community service event hosted this upcoming November 1st and November 8th, we're gonna be collecting food, bringing food to a shelter for those in need as part of the scouting activities, and to show the kids, you know, how to serve others, how to help others. Getting involved in school activities, similar to yesterday's trunk or treat activity here at Crossroads. We also have some activities at school, so I always try to get involved with that. And recently, getting involved at Crossroads with any activities like the trunk or treat, the cleanup for the church, helping out a little bit with the ESL school, and any other opportunity that Crossroads, you know, might have. So, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm very impressed. But I guess don't squeeze as much stuff into my day. But for me, I try to start with just, I don't know, where is the need around me? Less with what do I want to do or where do I think I'm skilled? And I feel like God kind of steers that a little bit. I think what I'm currently involved in right now, probably the biggest thing is the Bridging the Gap program with Wellness Loudoun, which is just an incredible thing where it's basically just peer supporter for anybody in the community that just raises their hand and is going through a really tough time. And it's just, hey, I just want somebody to talk to, I need help finding resources and that type of thing. Specifically with a mental health wellness focus, but I think it's such a powerful program, and we're, you know, a couple weeks into that right now, but looking to see how that grows.
Yes, he has been incredibly helpful in that arena. So thank you so much, Lee.
So for me, I'm helping the church with serving food at the Leesburg Homeless Shelter, and also I'm grateful I could help with the multimedia team at the booth, so it's a good experience for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Axel. So you have said yes to serve others. So I want to ask how serving has impacted other areas of your life, your relationships, your faith, and maybe your sense of purpose. So share that.
Should start the other way too. it's a heavy question for me for many reasons, but to keep it short, because I have a minute to say this, I feel, so when I think of service and when I get involved with service, it's typically, you know, the giving, the doing for others and not really expecting, right, anything in return. But I would lie if I didn't say that I do feel like I get a lot out of that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a bunch of life and energy and hope. There have been times when I've said, more than once probably, that I have lost faith in humanity. But through service, I can see that hope coming back in that faith and humanity coming back ever so slowly and sometimes even more. So it is a two-way street, even if we don't start with that. I feel that it has strengthened relationships and even built new ones, because there is this, at your core, who you are, that sometimes comes across as service. And that's a very open, transparent, vulnerable way to get to know others that you don't get with the, hi, how are you, how's it going, that's it. So it really helps you build even deeper connections, dare I say. It certainly has helped with my faith. I have had moments, and that's when the complicated thing starts, when I feel that maybe I'm not doing enough for my faith. Maybe I am not talking about God enough to others. And sometimes through action, it does feel like I can connect and say that and share the love of God.
Thank you so much.
For me, I always start, and if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. I always go back to the movie Yes Man by Jim Carrey. Sometimes it's you getting forced to say yes, but that's only at the beginning. The stories you get, the connections you make, then saying yes comes naturally, and you want to do more and more. And I definitely, it strengthens my faith and my relationships, because with Grecia, with my son JD, the stories that I get, the enlightenment that I get from other people, just stories that I can tell them, bonds that I can make, it really opens, like I said, it opens my eyes, it opens my thinking, and it really opens my heart. So the more I do, like the more I keep wanting to be doing. So it's a snowball effect.
Wow. So I didn't grow up in the church, and I knew that when I had my family and my son, I wanted to lead by example. We want to lead by example, and saying yes to volunteering here at Crossroads, at school, at Scouts, I want to lead by example for my son, for my family. And inadvertently, it has filled my cup. It has filled me with joy. It has uplifted my spirits through some tough times. And it has cemented my faith that through action, we can live like Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah, I think for this one, I think, it's really easy to just think kind of more transactional, like, hey, if I just need to do more things, check more boxes, whatever, and then come on, God, shoot the blessings my way, or I'm doing these things, and where are you showing up? But I think for me, what I found is just really being responsive, just irrationally impulsive, I guess, a lot of times, where you just feel like you need, hey, I feel like I should do something, I should say hi to that person, and just doing it. There's a couple here, I don't know if I see him, but I remember I walked through the hallway and I was like, we should invite them to lunch. And then I was like, no, and I checked it out. And then like, we went to pick up food and they were there sitting at the lunch where we were going to go. And I'm like,
wow,
dang it, dang it. So like, we mess up. I'm sorry if you're out there, I'm sure you know who you are. But I think, yeah, just really trying to be responsive. And I think in that, just like in any sort of language or relationship, you just kind of learn our dad's voice a little bit better. And then just in doing that, you keep hearing more and more and more, and then like you get to be, you get a front row seat to just the incredible things God's doing, and it's hard not to have your strength, faith, and to be filled, your cup filled, just from that.
Okay, and for me, I guess it's my way to answer the call to serve, and also build connection with my community, the community I've been in, and I try to help what I can. So that's the way I do it.
So our last question, I want to say, maybe there are some people here or online who perhaps they want to say yes to serve, but they're not ready to take that step. And what would you say to them so that they be motivated or empowered to take that step of serving our community or our neighbor?
I would say go with your heart and don't overthink it. I would say that it is true. Sometimes there's no time. But that's the season in life, and it'll shift at some point. And so if in that moment it feels like there isn't a whole lot, just go with your gut, go with what the heart says. And if it really, really, it's too overwhelming and daunting to even say half a yes or maybe, share your story and listen to others. Sometimes service starts right next to you in your home, and then little by little, a little bit outside of the home. And we don't do enough listening sometimes or enough sharing. Our stories can be powerful and really relate to others and really encourage others and inspire others. And the listening part is super important because sometimes we don't even listen to ourselves. Sometimes maybe that's what we need to say the yes after listening to ourselves to go in one direction and really fulfill our path in whatever ways we want to deep inside. So if you can't say yes, just share your story and listen to others. And that's the yes, that's the first step.
Perfect, thank you.
For me, I would say, because I was one of them, afraid to say yes, afraid if I'm not enough, if I don't have the time. I have a long commute to Rockville every day, so I was like, I want to do this, but I don't know if I'm going to make it in time. I'll say, just give it a try. The benefits will always outweigh, and God will move things around.
Amen.
I think that's the biggest part. Everything else will come with it, time, space, people. So just give it a try. Like I said, God will adjust, God will move things around. And the benefit, the joy will outweigh. So give it a try for the first time, and then there will be no coming back from it. So
wonderful.
Kind of resonating what Jose mentioned. It is scary at first. You always have that like, oh, I don't know if I should, or I don't want to put myself out there, especially when you're new to a community, you don't know a lot of people. If you are looking to build connections and if you are looking to establish new relationships, get to know people, I highly encourage it. Yes, you're serving and you're also gaining something. Just try it out and like Rocio said, listen to your heart. You know,
listen to the nudge of the Holy Spirit to guide you.
Yeah.
I actually took notes on this one, and I budgeted most of my time for this. This one's kind of important to me. So, I mean, you could say yes, just do it. If you're feeling like you should do it, you should probably just do it. That's probably the short answer. But I'm really convinced, because a lot of times we get in our heads a little too much about, am I hearing right, am I hearing it just right, and stuff like that, but really just responding, and then let God steer you, like, as you're taking steps. It's a lot easier for him to order them if you have some sort of, like, forward motion, and I really am convinced that God's not going to let, he's going to give you the wisdom and the discernment in when you need it. He's not going to let you miss it if you're actively seeking him to do it. But looking back on my life, when I've been contributed the most or feel like I'm most kind of on fire spiritually, it's been like I don't deserve any credit for it, because it's like an involuntary response to what God's doing in my heart. Like, it's not heavy, it's easy, like it's almost like I wouldn't be able to say no. So you don't really need a whole lot of advice on to take steps when your heart's in the right spot like that. And so where my mind goes to is like, how could I offer any sort of encouragement when your heart's not in the right spot and those steps do feel heavy and it is hard to get out there. So for me, what I found to anchor my heart and really to kind of tap into the energy is praise. And it really is like just focus time on giving God credit for everything he's done, and like going back on what is, just start naming, like literally naming things or writing it down. Like, you know, you could say kind of like a gratitude journal or something like that, but it could just be as simple as just start looking at all of the things in your life that have gone well and thanking God for it, because he's the reason for it. And you can kind of go down that list until you run out of things. You'll get halfway down and be like, okay, I get it, God, you're here. You showed up a bunch of times before, you'll be here again. And then this was something I really felt like I needed to share. So bear with me. So in one of the hardest seasons of my life, I asked God to just put words to what he was teaching me. And it's kind of dense. anyone he wants to hear it again later, just come find me. I'll share it. But the words, I feel like the words he gave me was, if I let what I can see dictate my praise, who do I make my God in the presence of he who is unwaveringly good? My hope is by definition meditation on his past, present, and future goodness. So I choose praise in pain, for it's the only thing pulling my heart closer to the one who can get me through it. And I'm sure someone out there like needs to hear that today. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you feel like you should take a step, just take the step. You're there. if you need the strength to do it, you know, most of us probably feel like we need that strength every single day. It's just start by praising him for who he is and what he's done. And then I think that'll get you to a spot where you won't be able to not take that step. You don't need a whole lot of advice on how to.
Amen. Thank you, Lee.
Okay, for me, I think you find your passion and find what things you're comfortable doing with, because all these volunteers are very welcoming for me, and it always worth a try. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Help me to give a round of applause to them for being courageous, of being here, sharing your story. You can go back to your seats. Thank you, thank you.